It is always great to have you back on the Maximum Standard. I'm Steve, and we are wrapping up the entire year. We've been doing this Brag Plus One Leadership Series on the five qualities of leadership. Please check it out starting on January 16th if you haven't already. But today we're kind of like wrapping it all up by talking about people who exemplify these characteristics and maybe struggle in some areas, as we all do. And this week we're talking about George Patton, General Patton, a leadership prototype of his age, minus his incredibly large ego. So we're going to talk about how he personifies some of these characteristics, but at the same time, just struggled in one area that really affected him a lot on the battlefield. You see, George S. Patton was one of the greatest military generals of our nation and a leading contributor to the Allied successes during World War II. He was a crowd favorite, beloved by his soldiers and the nation, with his exploits known far and wide, loved by the Allies, feared by the Axis powers in World War II. But he was so much more than a famous battlefield general. He was an avid horseman, fencer, and Olympic modern pentathlete. In the 1912 games, he finished fifth. He was a student of military history, graduated West Point, although he did fail math and had to repeat his first year. He designed his own sword, and he had a tank named after him. How cool is that? However, Patton had a fatal flaw, his ego. Even in the face of being the quintessential military leader of a generation, Patton fell from grace because he struggled to keep his feelings in check and his mouth shut at times. You see, we can be the best leader in the world, but if we disrupt those around us, frustrate our bosses, and are combative with our peers, we will struggle. And George Patton, like I said, exemplified like 80% of what we've talked about all year in this Brag Plus One framework, and he struggled at 20% of that. And mainly it was about putting service over self. He thought it was all about him. But simply put, George Patton was an amazing military general. He was almost everything the Army wants in a combat leader. And it really started with this outlook on life to advance at all cost. Such a critical mindset when being in charge, to take ground, to be successful, to have victories. You see, being aggressive embodies our leadership qualities of putting boots on the ground and engaging the adversary. And his philosophy focused on not letting temporary setbacks get us down, like failing math at West Point, but being resilient when the enemy attacks. And it focused on engaging with and destroying our problems at all costs. Patton once said his motto in battle is, "Go forward." And he did this, he had this motto for two reasons. First, he understood the importance of exploiting advantages on the battlefield and continuing to sustain momentum. When he heard from a corps commander once that the objective to reach the Saloon River was achieved, like, "Hey boss, I'm at the river like you told me," Patton ordered him to keep going because he had this quote. He said, "Throughout history, many campaigns have been lost by stopping on the wrong side of the river." We must constantly advance our position. Just because you achieved an objective doesn't mean you stop, you keep going. His second reason to drive forward was to keep his people motivated and see new ground taken every moment. You see, people love to win, and Patton knew that the motivation to see ground being taken, enemies being defeated, and progress being made were critical for his organization to want to achieve even more. Patton discouraged the defense, and he rarely let his unit dig trenches. He thought that would create a mental model that the enemy had an advantage. It would get inside their heads. Instead, he believed, one of his quotes was, "An army is defeated when it digs in." This is a great object lesson, to always have the mindset to close with the enemy, destroy them, and be relentless on advancing our goals and objectives. Patton did this his whole life. In the Pancho Villa expedition of 1916, he participated in the first U.S. Army motorized attack. It was using three Dodge touring cars. It's the first time we were off horseback and into cars. In World War I, he led the 1st Provisional Tank Brigade into battle. Tanks were new right there. At times, walking in front or riding on top of the tanks to motivate his soldiers. And in 1923, he saved 2 children from drowning after a boating accident in frigid water off the coast of Massachusetts, earning him the Silver Life Saving Medal. He was always about it. Go forward. When World War II began, Patton drove his passion for armored warfare forward. He was quickly promoted to the general officer ranks and had leading roles in North Africa, Sicily, and European campaigns. He was constantly out in front of his troops, urging them to move forward at all costs. He took town after town and repeatedly outmaneuvered both his enemy and friendly forces who struggled to keep up. His actions were imperative to winning the war. He put his boots on the ground. He was resilient in battle. He closed with and destroyed the enemy. But he had a fatal flaw. With Teddy Roosevelt last week, we talked about how too much aggressiveness could cause problems, although Teddy Roosevelt wasn't plagued by a massive ego. George Patton's aggressiveness combined with ego were downright dangerous. For all his great qualities, he often caused trouble with his superiors because of this huge ego and actions that at best made it seem like the war was about himself and at worst disrupted national interests. At the Biscari Massacre, 2 of Patton's soldiers killed dozens of prisoners of war, citing they were following Patton's orders from one of his speeches. He was just too aggressive. Patton slapped 2 of his men, suffering from battle fatigue. He said, man, you just gotta fight in battle. You can't have battle fatigue, was his view. Like, his ego was so big, he can't even imagine that happening. He openly countered U.S. policy by stating at a speech that Great Berlin and the United States were destined to rule the world, which alienated coalition members. He was widely considered an anti-Semite and alienated the very same Jewish people he came to liberate in displaced person camps. And these actions isolated him from his bosses. The Supreme Allied Commander, Dwight Eisenhower, relieved and sidelined him right before the Normandy invasion because of his actions, a role which he could have had a significant impact. Another boss of his in Europe, General Omar Bradley, wanted to relieve him permanently after the slapping incident. Field Marshal Bernard Montgomery, the British guy, had a heated rivalry with him to get to Berlin first. And finally, President Truman, after the war, had to write a note to Eisenhower about the poor treatment of Jewish people overseen by Patton. His actions, his aggressiveness, his ego caused his bosses and his peers to put him off to the side. And at one point, it sidelined him from the greatest invasion in the history of the world. There's no doubt Patton was an amazing commander. All those mentioned above, all those people acknowledge this, but he was also a distraction, and his actions caused superiors struggle and consternation. Patton let his ego overshadow his amazing leadership abilities. By taking ourselves out of the equation and focusing on our organizational goals instead of ourselves, we can mitigate the Patton ego syndrome by being incredibly successful along with being a great team player. So I have 2 life lessons I got out of this Patton study, and they are 1, to go for it, and 2, make it about us, not me. First, Patton was so good at going for it, right? Putting boots on the ground, closing with the problems in front of us. His advance mentality, like move forward, had him achieving success after success. We have to have the same mindset in our goals. We only have a limited number of months or years in a certain position. Like, we have kids, and then we only have them in the house for 2 decades or less before they're gone. We take a position at work which may only last a year or two. We take on a project that could be over in weeks. Look, once we have a goal, it's our job to be all in and go for it. Patton attacked above all else. He relentlessly pursued his objectives and knocked out target after target. On the subject of tank warfare, he read, wrote, discussed, and built a culture of armored activity. We have to have the same aggressive mindset, whether it's a class we're taking, a business we're building, or a job we possess, and use our limited time wisely to get things done. On the flip side, it's so important not to make things about us. Patton had a huge ego, and it caused him to do some things that disrupted the organization. We can be both aggressive and a team player at the same time. When running hard to make things happen, it's necessary to bring others along. Don't make it about us. Watch our words and deeds. Don't alienate our boss or do something that causes disruption. Be a team player. Part of the Brag Plus One framework is placing service over self. It's always about the organization and never our own interests. Patton was a great role model for being successful, not so great at building coalitions. The best leaders can do both. So glad you joined us this week as we talked about our third leader in this series. Next week, we're going to stay in World War II. We're going to talk about Douglas MacArthur, who's plagued by the same stuff as George Patton. Incredible leader, so many great qualities, and another fatal flaw of not placing service above self at times. It kind of came back to him a lot, and you'll see he gets fired and sidelined just like Patton did. So we hope you join us for that. In the meantime, be great today. See you next week.